Okay, everybody said, Baruch Hashem, good to be back. Yom Tovim are very nice, they're very geschmack, but they make it very hard to have halacha shurim on schedule. So Baruch Hashem, we're able to get back into our regular schedule programming and continue our learning. So tonight I want to discuss again, for those who listen online, last shir that we had, it's labeled Lefties Part 3 or Part 4. At the end of that shir, we talk a little bit about nail cutting. So if you're listening online and you want to know why we're starting from where we are, that's because in last week's share, probably should be relabeled, but it's labeled Lefties Part 3 or 4. At the end of that share, we talked a little bit about nail cutting, and now we're going to get into nail cutting a little bit more. I'm not in the business of writing Svarim. It's not my thing personally, but if I sat down to write a Sefer, this would be one of the topics I'd write on, because there's not much on it. Cutting nails in halacha, I'm sure someone should, or if not, they did already. It's a great topic for a sefer. Cutting nails in halacha, there's so many details and nuances. A new sefer actually just came out a few months ago. Showers in halacha, fascinating sefer. About all you need to know about showering. Showers on Shabbos, showers on Yom Tov, showers in the 9 days, how to shower, what to shower. Fascinating sefer, great sefer, happened to come out in English. But I think this is another great topic if someone wants to write a sefer. I don't know how big the sefer will be because we only have like two shurim on it. But I think it's a great topic. As far as I know, no one wrote anything specifically on it. So if anyone wants to do so, I think it's a great idea. But nail cutting in halacha, nails, toenails and nails in halacha, I think is a great topic, definitely underestimated and definitely underrated to how important it is and how relevant it is. So we discussed a little bit in the last year, and now we're going to start from a different angle of the sugya. So if you have the booklet, it starts Netilas Tzipanayim Balacha, source number 8. Now I want to talk about how to cut the nails. So there's a famous Gemara in Maseches Nida, similar Gemara found in Maseches Moed Katan. The Gemara writes like this in number 8. The Gemara talks about someone cuts his nails and he throws them into a public area. So the Gemara says that's very bad. Why? Because if a woman who is pregnant happens to step on those nails, it can cause her to miscarry. One of the more stranger Gemaras I've come across in Shas. We'll see later in the booklet what exactly is the logic behind this halacha. What does one have to do with the other? A pregnant lady steps on a nail, she miscarries. What does it have to do? But that's a Gemara. But the Gemara writes this, V'loyamar, and when is this true? El deshoka begenustri. It's only if you took off the nail off with a genustri. What's a genustri? So if you take a very quick look at number 9, Rashi says genustri, misparayim, scissors. Many people today bite their nails. They don't use scissors. And maybe nail cutter is scissors. I don't know, you can debate that. But the Gemara says if you use scissors, that's when it's a problem. But if you don't use scissors, then it doesn't. Now, this is very strange, right? The nail affecting the pregnant woman is going to depend on how you cut the nail. I don't know. Says the Gemara, V'lo yamar nal deshokel didei with the kariyetz. Only if you took your fingers and your toes. V'lo yamar, and it's not only said, el deligo is midi basrayu. You didn't chew on something right after. But if you chew on something right after you cut your nails, less limba, then nothing will happen. Says the Gemara, Veloihi, not so. All of these three distinctions are not true. The kula milsa chashina. No matter how you cut the nail, no matter what you do, we have to be suspectful that it can cause harm to a pregnant woman. So the Gemara had three tanoim over here, three conditions that would make it that dangerous for a woman, and the Gemara seems to reject it. Veloihi means the Gemara is rejecting, and the Gemara is saying it's not so. It doesn't matter, no matter what or however you cut your nails, it could be dangerous for a woman, pregnant woman. You can debate it. You can clear. It's hard to know. You can argue that maybe our nail clippers are not really scissors. Scissors, we know when we talked about the sugya of hair cutting, scissors are usually two blades that are locked like this together. A nail clipper is not exactly that, to the best of my knowledge. It's a different contraption. But this is one Gemara Maseches Nida. So comes along the Betzel HaChochma. The Betzel HaChochma is where Betzalel Stern, the brother of the dead Ritzin Rav, he lived in Australia for a good bulk of his life. So he writes like this. He says, have you ever heard of a practice that people cut things? You know, there's some things that we call them old wives' tales, some things that our Alta Babas told us. You're not supposed to step over a person when they're lying down. Now, some of these things are real, some of these are literally Alta Baba Mises. So he says there's a practice that he knows people that after they cut the nails, they'll cut something with scissors. They'll cut a piece of paper. Seems like a very strange practice. So he says, no, I think I understand the practice. He says, agav oyer b'mashen, oyim achag b'makitzis asperim. I know some people, after they cut their nails, lachtach oyd izidover masakrei misperim, shechot ulam atziprim. After they cut the nails, they'll take the nail cutter and they'll cut a piece of paper. I don't know if anyone actually does this, but Rabbi Zal Stern says, he's aware of such a practice. And he says, v'adover tzorechin, a very strange practice. What would the logic be behind the practice? So it would be based on this Gemara. Since the Gemara told us that after you cut your nails, if you cut something else, then the nails are no longer harmful to the pregnant woman. So that's why people had this minute that after they'd cut their nails, they would then cut something and this would fix the nails. What's the only problem? The Gemara rejected that. The Gemara said, Velohi. The Gemara said, it's not true. The Gemara said that we don't buy into any of these differences. So why bother doing it? So the Bitzel HaChachma writes like this. He says, V'adavet Tzarchin. It doesn't make any sense. Ki kinir minig zeh yisayit b'divir HaShas Nidah. It seems like this original practice of cutting something after you cut your nails is based on our Gemara. Because what did the Gemara say? Velohi amar nel d'loi goz midi basrayah, but goz midi basrayah, less than more. Because the Gemara said, you cut something afterwards, then the nails are no longer dangerous. But frak the Bitzel HaChachma, avla harebi Gemara misayimah le'evaloi l'kul milsa chashinam. But the Gemara rejected that. The Gemara says that doesn't work. So why bother doing it? So he says, very interesting. He says, v'imke in the chayri ain't to elsa gaiz midi basrayi. Vani is daiti. He says, no, maybe there is something still to gain. Even though the Gemara seemed to say that there's no difference if you cut something afterwards or you don't, but maybe it's still a good practice that after you cut your nails to cut something. Why? He says, he says, what was the lashon in the Gemara? The Gemara said, if you cut something afterwards, less lumba. There's nothing there. It sounds like there is no longer a danger for a pregnant woman to step on these nails, because since after you cut your nails, you cut a piece of paper, that now will protect the pregnant woman. He says, he says, maybe the way you read the Gemara is not that the Gemara is saying, Velohi, it's not worth anything. It just doesn't fix the entire problem, but it does do something. So he wants to say this. Maybe the Gemara says that if you throw your nails into the Rishas Rabbim, Doma Bereisha, blood's on your head. So you're a guilty person for causing a miscarriage. Says the Bitzel HaChachma, maybe like this. Maybe if after you cut your nails, you do one of the things described in the Gemara, like cutting something, that lowers what you did. Now you're no longer a murderer, but now you're just, not the best guy in the world. He says, but it's still there, but it's better. And therefore he writes, he says, now I know why people use a knife. He says, he thinks people use a knife and not scissors. Why would you use a knife and not scissors? Because the Gemara says that if you use scissors, that's when a pregnant lady has trouble. So if we use something different than that, so even though the Gemara seemingly rejected that difference, but it makes it a little better. Sefer says the Bitzel HaChachma, he thinks that even though the simple reading of the Gemara Nida seems to say that we rejected all these three differences, but there's still something there. And therefore he thinks that's why people Badafka don't use a misperayim, they don't use scissors, because they want to fulfill this Gemara. Very interesting idea. Now there's another famous... we'll see, it's only if you zerik to an area where a pregnant woman can step on it. That's what we're going to get to later tonight. If you live in a boys-only dormitory... Or then throw whatever you want. Well, we'll get to that in a second. So there's another Gemara.
Has this effect even if it happens by omnes, or a person didn't know the halacha?
So we're going to talk a little bit of... This is a Gemara.
Then where did the Gemara get it from?
That I can't answer. These are Gemara. That's what I'm saying. These are not folk tales. These are Gemaras.
So somebody doesn't know the halacha is his nails.
Oh, so we're going to actually have a Shaila. We'll see. Someone asked Chaim Kanevsky, what about Goyish nails? How often do we get shailas about women that are pregnant that are nervous to go get their nails done? Because you go to a nail salon, there's nails all over the floor. This is a very popular shaila. These are Gemaras. We'll see, they're brought down by Mr. Brewer. It's not like... I don't remember if the Rambam brings it down. Mr. Brewer definitely brings this stuff down. This is not like, we'll come back to it in a second. We'll see in the Muki Yosef. We'll show you and talk about it. Right. Again, the problem is we'll see in the Rishonim that the reasons seem very hard to understand. But let's keep going. Yeah. Let's keep going. It gets better. Trust me. Let's see another Gemara. Number 11, bottom left corner. Gemara Nida. I'm sorry, Gemara Moed Katan. I love to quote this Gemara. Again, I'm not a big nail biter. Biter. There are people that nail biters. Someone told me, I can't say it's true. Someone told me that Chazanish would not allow a nail biter to be at a chasen. Why? Because he held, if you're a real nail biter, Mishtami bit your nails on Shabbos. which people, we all see people in shul buying the nails and shabbos. I hate to, I one day would like to give a share on that topic. It's usher, I think. I'm unaware of any heter that, unless I'm missing something. But people are just humans and they do things. So supposedly the chazir said, if a guy is such a real, avid nail biter, he was choshed that he bites his nails on shabbos, and he wouldn't let him be an eight kedushin. Okay, that's what someone told me. I don't know if it's true or not. But if you're an avid nail biter, this is the gemara you need to see. This is the gemara for all the big nail biters. Zokti gemara. I was in front of a biyechem in the base medrash b'chol shomoid v'shaklina l'tofrei b'shina, and he bit his nails with his teeth, nail biter. Zakrinu, and he chucked them on the floor. So zok the gemara shmami no klas. We learn three halachas from this story. Shmami no motel litzel spernayim b'chol shomoid. First thing is you're allowed to bite your nails on Chol HaMoed. We just finished Chol HaMoed. It's important to remember that. You're allowed to bite your nails on Chol HaMoed. The whole tumult this year, because we had a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, everyone wanted to know, are they allowed to cut their nails before Shabbos? So Svardim, yes. Ramom or Machmir. But I always tell people, if you're a nail biter, you don't have to worry. Nail biting is 100% mutter. That's the Gemara. That's one Chiddush. V'shemam yino ein behem shomiyas. How many people tell nail biters, ugh, it's disgusting? So the Gemara, it's not disgusting. Rabbi Yechonon did it. Ein behem shomiyas. It's not disgusting. Okay? So if you're a nail biter, this is the Gemara you want to have in your back pocket. And you see, even a lot of throw them. Because the Bechran chucked the nails. Is that so? There's three categories about nails. Hakoivron tzaddik. If you bury them, you're a tzaddik. Sorfon, if you burn them, you're a chassid. And we'll get to later which one's higher and which one's lower. Zarkon, if you chuck them, you throw them, Russia. You're a Russia. So we're going to believe that to talk later tonight. What is the toilet considered today? I think most of us flush it on the toilet. We'll see, does that make us a tzaddik or does that make us a chassid? What's it negated to practically? I don't know if we want to walk around saying, oh, I'm a tzaddik. Today everyone's a tzaddik, right? Now you can figure a reason why someone's a tzaddik. We'll come back to it, Blinader. Says the Gemara, my timer. Why can't you throw your nails wherever you want? Shema tavra len isha uvro v'tapo. Maybe a pregnant lady will step by and step on the nail and will cause her a miscarry. So Zok the Gemara, Isha b'meim b'drasha l'shchichi. Women don't hang around in the Beis Medrash. So this is a very important Gemara. You see from this Gemara that if there's any ever an area that is not heavily, you know, used for women, Beis Medrash, it's very negated in the Beis Medrash. Again, a shul is tricky because shuls are, you know, women come to shul also depending on the sections and they move things around. But let's, for example, Beis Medrash, a boys only yeshiva, boys only camp, whatever, things like that. Then there's no problem. Cut your nails, bite your nails, do whatever you want because you don't have to worry about pregnant women. Or if it's an area where pregnant people don't come. I guess only, you know, older people come or people that are not pregnant, you know, whatever the case may be. The Gemara says a very strange answer. The Gemara says once the nails move, they move, they're no longer potent. And if the nail falls here, and she steps on it, once it moves, it's no longer a problem. Because the Gemara is choshish. Maybe I'll bite my nail in the Beis Medrash. It somehow will find its way into the lobby, and the lady will step in the lobby when she comes to shul. So how do you want to know?
What makes a difference how you throw them away?
What?
Why does it make a difference how you discard them?
I don't claim to understand the Gemara. I'm just repeating the Gemara. That's why I think this is a great topic if someone wants to do. That's what's in the Gemara, right?
Rabbi Yochanan, the person who sat by the mikvah,
right.
When people came, I think there would be no
chashi
even if he spit it in also.
Yeah, the Gemara says he at least spit it in the
Beis
Medrash. That was the
comment
in the Gemara.
I'm saying wouldn't even be a problem here.
Presumably there'd be no. And if, let's say, for example, you're in an area where there's no pregnant women, it's not so hard to be, you know, whatever your situation, maybe there's just not, you know, there's no pregnant women. So then this whole halacha really doesn't become such an issue. Right, Meikar Adin. That's the machlokes Mechaber Ramah. The Mechaber holds that the din of, there's no gzeira like we have by haircuts for nails. So only by here we say that you have to do it before, and if you do it on, we don't let you do it on Chol HaMoed. The Ramah says no. Hair is like nails like here, and we taka don't let you cut your nails. But if you bite them, biting is mut. So let's try to tackle this Gemara for a second. Let's try to make heads and tails of this Gemara. So we'll start off, again, to the best of my knowledge, I can't say I thoroughly researched it, I tried my best. What is pshat in this Gemara about pregnant women and nails? What's the deal? So the best that I can find, and if anyone else, you know, all our listeners can, you know, if they have any idea, I'm more than happy to listen, is in the Muki Yosef. Muki Yosef was shining. And Muki Yosef writes on page 2, he has two pshatim. And what is the connection between pregnant women miscarrying and nails? Says the Gemara, Mishum Mias. Says the Muki Yosef, Mishum Mias. It's disgusting. So this is very hard to understand what this means. Right, I mean, for some reason, a pregnant woman gets repulsed when she steps on a nail. So now there's just some issues over here, like, if Cain, so why all the differences? And she doesn't get disgusted if the nail was cut and bitten. And let's say she doesn't know the nail's there. again, first of all, today we have medications for things like that, right? We have, you know, if someone gets disgusted, it means what is that? You don't die from being this. You don't cause that doesn't cause a miscarriage to be disgusted. I'm saying, yeah, they give medication for that. Baruch Hashem today. Again, I partially don't know pshat in this Muki Yosef. The second teretz of Muki Yosef is even better. Yeshem Mishum Kshafim. Okay, good. That I definitely don't know. So neither pshatim of this Muki Yosef can I claim I have any understand kishuf. It's magical. It's beyond our pay scale, right? Something we don't understand. Okay, as I is. Yeah, so I throw my hands up and say I don't understand. But take a look at the Prima Godim.
It sounds like it's a physical ailment.
100%.
And the Kshafim is...
Correct. Now, if it's physical, but, you know...
So
right, but is there any basis to that? I don't know, you know... That's correct. They can't smell certain foods. They can't eat certain foods. But I don't believe that causes them to miscarry. Say, we're talking about over here with the Kshash of the Gemara. Not because she's going to be upset for a couple hours. I don't know. This is a topic that I just, it's interesting, but I can't say I understand. But take a look at the Prima Godim, number 13. Talk to Prima Godim. The Noshim Sha'ivim Al Tzipornayim Sakon Hashem Etapil. Says the Prima Godim, why is it dangerous for women to, again, it's dangerous that they may miscarry. Why would a woman miscarry if she steps on nails? Now we're tying it to last week's parasha. This we know already from our many shurim on Shabbos. We know that Adam Rishon was full of nails. That's one of the reasons the Rama writes that we look at our nails on Matzah Shabbos is to remind us that Adam Rishon Kaidim Echet was all nails. Whatever that looks like, it's a little scary picture. You probably don't want to teach that to kids in elementary school. It's just a scary thought of just full of nails. But that's what Chazal tells us. And therefore, on Matzah Shabbos, when we're after the Chet, we look at our fingernails because that's the only part that's left with nails. The rest of the body lost its nails. So,
I don't know what's late, but is this a thing of a woman stepping on nails only she's barefoot? How is she going to choose the slippers?
I don't know more than what the Gemara says. I hear again, if it's als mios, I hear such a chiluk.
Meaning,
no, the lashon of the Gemara sounds like she steps on it. Isha uvrobet shemet tavra. I shouldn't say tavra alehen, and she passes over them. Maybe it almost sounds like she doesn't step on them. It sounds like she passes over them. Then it's really strange. But I don't know. I don't know if it, today we wear, back then, obviously in the times of Gemara, they didn't wear any footing. Today we all, it would be very hard to imagine if a girl's wearing a sneaker or a shoe and she steps on a nail, she wouldn't even know she stepped on it.
Right.
I don't know. But listen to this Prima Godim. Prima Godim writes that after the Chet, so he says all that was left was the nail. V'lenisha rakba et spoyis, it was just left with the nails on the fingers. V'isha garem zois. And who caused that? Last week's parasha is Isha. L'chein yesh sakona, that's why it's a sakona. So again, I don't know if this pshat makes it better for anyone, but this pshat is a little bit more, to say understandable as a stretch, but it's because the nails are connected to the chet, because before the chet, man was all nails. So now if a pregnant lady steps on the chet, on the nails, it connects to chava, and that's what causes the miscarriage. Okay. It's a prima god, not a chassidish rebbe, but as I look the prima god. So Reb Zilberstein was asked the following shayla. Yesh l'stapik, emutu l'aniach l'mishar sos ha-goyo l'zvek tziponel. Can goyim, can a pregnant woman step on goyish nails? Let's say, for example, you have someone in the house. So I agree, I think the shayla is more negay if a woman wants to go when she's pregnant to a nail salon, get her nails done. Happens all the time. Problem is, a lot of those places, the nails are Jewish. They're not goyish nails, but let's say, for example, you want to go to a place where the nails are goyish. Maybe even goyish nails also have to be treated properly. So now, what would we have answered to such a shayla? What would we, we would have assumed that if it was mios, why should it matter? Mias means it's gross, it's repulsive. Why should it matter whose nails it is? If it's Al Kashafin, then I don't know anymore. So what does he answer? He says, Yesh l'ayin, al piyatama now. In Yesh l'achosh b'tzipanayim shogoy. So he says, Das gisi agonim Chaim Kanevsky. He says, my brother-in-law, Reb Chaim Kanevsky, now Zatzal, the ein b'tzipanayo akum sakonu. Chaim Kanevsky held that tzipanay akum are not a problem. Why? Just like we know that goyim don't have ruach ra on their hands. We spoke about this a while back, that if you're going to have people that touch your food in the morning, you'd rather a goy than a non-religious Jew. Because a goy doesn't have ruach ra on his hands. So if the goy preparing your breakfast touches your bagels and he doesn't do negovas, okay. There's no ruach ra on the hands. But if you have a non-religious Jew who touches your bagel and didn't wash negovas, there might be ruach ra on the food. That's why it's more complicated to hire non-religious. Says the Chaim Kanevsky, Umuhor b'prima godim, tikshem she'en anochi mitame b'moysik kachin ruach ra shav alof. Now, the only problem I have with this is what? What does Ruach Ra have to do with anything? I thought it's because of Mias. Isn't that what the Muki Yosef told us? So Chaim Kanevsky is saying there's no Ruach Ra on the Tzipernai Hagoi, and therefore it doesn't affect her. Okay, fine. Kloy Mapi Magodim Savish Shedina Akum Kedin Behemagab the Ruach Ra. Again, I just don't know why she should be telling that. Then he writes at the end, "Kach nem el gabet zpernaim shesperne akim kitzpernei achoyl va'ari." But the shemana sheish ben miyisk shavim. Meaning, he's saying that nails of a goy are like the nails of an animal. It's a whole different category. Again, for Mia's purposes, I definitely don't understand why. For Kisha's purposes, but that's it. Pasuk B'chaim Kineski. B'chaim Kineski passes the Alchol Ma'isa. Goyish nails do not affect pregnant women. Okay.
More than likely, the person who made it,
Al-Shurah,
it's a natural person.
Yeah, so most Tomah, I don't know the policies of the Vadim are, but many of the Vadim are makbid that they try to get them to wash their hands. They're non-religious workers, yeah.
What do you mean, three times on each hand, like Nebuchadnezzar?
He tried. Yeah, he tried as best as he can. Mishnah Berurah writes like that. We saw the Mishnah Berurah. Now, there are those who tie in, maybe a non-religious Jew. Maybe a non-religious Jew. First, I'll tell you, everyone wears gloves. Everyone's so careful now with COVID, after COVID. But Mr. Brew is back and forth about it. He says, no, some Akronim say, no, if he's not religious, maybe he doesn't have Ruach Ra. It's like, that's a shayla. It's also a shayla with kids. Right, little kids, we talked about this. My son, he's 3. So he always likes to touch all everyone else's food. And he likes to say he washes Nagovasa, but he actually doesn't. So the question is, does he put Ruach Ra on everyone else's food? So again, Mr. Brew also talks about it. Maybe Katan don't put Ruach Ra on the food. But again, in a perfect world, and Anachlami. These are all discussions, all up for debate. I don't know what the policies of the local eateries are, if they talk and make their workers wash. I think Mr. Bruce sounds like you should. He writes. He should try to ask your Misharis and Misharis that they should wash Negovas in the morning. This, again, you probably can get away with it under some form of medical law and say, listen, for hygiene purposes, and you do it 3 times, and you should be able to, shouldn't be such an issue. Now, if you take a look in the Rivei Sefraim, writes this. He wants to know, someone asked, So till now we talked about goyish nails. What about women's nails? Is it a sakana for a lady to step on a lady's nail?
You mean until
it was only a man's nail? I think we're talking about the Gemara, we're all males. What about women's nails? I told you, not much talk about nails, right? So he writes like this. That's what I would have passed on also. Where do you see any difference between a male's nail and a lady's nails? What's the difference? He says, Kiisha Leitadish is Amisha. He says, no, because a lady doesn't know who it came from. And she thinks it came from a man. I don't think that's the point. I think the point is, nails are nails. Who cares who they're from? Then I found an amazing Bach. Maybe everyone knew this. I never knew this. The Bach is talking Hilchos Nida. I should have known it. The Bach writes something amazing. He says, Nida Shagil Chot Tziporneh. We know when a lady gets ready for the mikvah, so she does a chafifa, and part of the chafifa she cuts her nails. He writes, V'dores aleim ba'alo. If when a lady cuts her nails for the mikvah, the husband would step on those nails. Oy adam acher, loikin olav b'shchin. They'll get affected with shchin. Till now we were talking about a pregnant woman being affected by nails. Now we're flipping and saying that if a man would step on his wife's nails that she cut in process for chafifa for the mikvah, he gets shchin. This is, This is a Bach. I don't know. It's like the Bach. This is then the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes like that. It's fascinating. Zok the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch number 17. Bitzaya shetachas asipori. When you're talking about the dirt under a lady's nail, yesh chalukim v'kanog lach latzperna yedem regalim. The minhag today is that a lady cuts all the nails before she goes to mikvah. Koydem atvila v'tizor l'sarfon. Right, it's so funny. All the women are always yelling at the men, be careful with your nails. Here we're saying faket. Now the women have to be careful with their nails when they're getting ready for the mikvah. Ki im yidrach aleim bal oy demachem misukan. Because if a husband or someone else will step on those nails, it could be dangerous. This, I don't think they teach the girls in college classes. That when she cuts the nails to get ready for the mikvah, she should make sure that she should put the nails together, because we only think that nails are dangerous, right? Meaning, if a lady's going to the mikvah, she's probably not pregnant, right? So she thinks to herself, it's safe. Ooh, I'm the only lady in the house, and I'm not pregnant, so nails are free. So the Bach and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, no. Those nails that she cuts in preparation for the mikvah somehow are dangerous.
Only because they're wrapped.
And he says you have to burn them, you can't just throw them out.
No, we're going to get to where exactly I dispose of them. That's part of the Gemara. The Gemara is the highest way to get rid of the nails, is to burn them.
And this is only a husband.
So they both say, oy odamacher. Paalo, oy odamacher. I don't know. This is, I don't know. He writes over here, then the Betzel HaChachma pipes up on this one. He writes, Ubiyoyse Yeshli Zoy Bitziporni Ishanido. The Mavor Bebach B'shem Erekech Shem Doris Alem Paalo Odamacher Loikin Alem B'shchin. He says, it's a Gemara. People, it's right, it's brought down the Bach. Meaning he's just bringing this point out that most of us, myself included, did not know until we came across this, that this taka real halacha, that a lady, when she cuts her nails for the mikveh, has to be very careful that no one should step on the nails. Now, if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, it's in Hilchos Shabbos. It's in Mireish Samach. That's where he talks about this. The other Mishnah Berurah goes through this. He writes, Isa the Gemara, number 19, it says in the Gemara, Hasayiv Tzipernayim, if someone burns his fingernails, Dr. Gemara, Hasayiv Tzipernayim Chosid, that makes you a Chosid. Right, we think chassid has to do with the size of your payas and what you wear. No, chassid is a guy who burns his fingernails. He's considered a chassid. Says the Gemara, kaivrun, if you bury them, you're a tzaddik. Zarkon Russia. Why? Shemer tavralem isha uberes v'tab. This is the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah brings down this Gemara, alach l'maisa. Ulechem beis hamedrash l'shirchi noshev in the beis hamedrash, there's no women. Oy beis hamerchot sh'asir rakles rachets anosh mechur. If you have a room that's only for men, you know, separate gender swimming pools and separate gender workout rooms, whatever. Right? No problem. Mutl zerk. Kam isa sham b'gemar. That's all found in the Gemara. Dein b'koicham lahazik rak b'duchta de nefili. Because the nails only have power where exactly where they drop. Avalim kanish luhu basar hachi. But if they move after that, shodi luhu lavroi les limba. Because of the precious simmeresh ma'amalaf, mikandim choytech b'beisim b'magbim shrichi noshi. Let's say you have a pregnant woman in the house and you cut the nails in one part of the house. B'nofel miyodik tzatzi pornov. Hichabi doisei hamokim b'yazizim b'mokim b'shuv les limba. You move them. Sweep. The Rabbi says, not enough just to move, you gotta get out of the room. So let's say this is a big room, right? So if a guy drops a nail in this room, women come to this room, it wouldn't be enough just to move it over one spot. You have to actually take it out of the room to be considered a fulfillment of changing the place. Then the Mishnah Berurah continues, you're supposed to wash your hands, which we will come back to later.
So if the woman steps on the nail in this room,
where it fell, right.
So she steps on the same exact nail, 10 feet outside the door.
That's a Gemara. Gemara says that. Right. I don't claim to understand it. I'm just
in that Gemara, there's no like. What are we talking about?
Listen.
Yeah, we're all
the If the oil wants to do a project, they're more than happy. Something. That's why I think if someone wants to write a safer on this, he could probably keep himself very busy with a lot of interesting research.
Is but, there any form like
as far as I know, there's nothing written on nail cutting in halacha, but it's a great idea if someone wants to write a safer. I definitely would endorse someone who wants to write a safer on this topic. It'd be really fascinating. And I would do it in English. I think it would be more exciting. I think you'd get a better population to read it if you do it in English. But that's just my opinion. So I said this over in the shul. So someone said, new rabbi, do you want to do it? We'll pay for it. I said, no, I have no interest in writing Svarim. It's not on my agenda. It's not on my to-do list. Not for me. Find someone else to do it. But in any case, number 20, Aruch HaShulchan. Let's see the Aruch HaShulchan. So he goes through the whole Gemara. He quotes all the Gemaras. And he writes, the Yizali Klu Hashakat Tipanam answered the Shemada, Ulachem Makim Shay Isham Tsirikum of Vesmesh Lassimbo, Vichin Imatipanam Nozumim Kermarishan, Shashrikhusham Gamkin Lassimbo. So you see from over here, the Archashokh is more makel than the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah called the Eli Rabbi who said you have to go to another room. Here, the Archashokh says no, as long as it fell out of the spot. Meaning it dropped over here, it got moved over there, you're good to go. Which is what I often think is a big heter, let's say, for example, in the nail places. Very often they do sweep. So even if they miss a nail, its mistoma was moved. But according to Eliyahu Rabbah, it's not good enough. Because according to Eliyahu Rabbah, it's got to leave the room. It usually doesn't leave the room. So I don't know. If Mishnah Berurah and Archashulchan, I don't know what the rules are when it's something like this. But there's definitely Yesh Amilismaich for such a thing. They should. We cleaned it every hour, every 5 minutes, you know, something like that. So now let's talk a little bit about how to get rid of your nails. So we talked a little bit how to cut them. Now let's talk about how do you throw them out. So we had the Gemara earlier. The Gemara said there's three levels. There's a tzaddik, there's a chassid, and then there is a rasha. So the rasha is the guy who just throws it everywhere, anywhere he wants. Now the truth is, I wonder, you know, if a guy, let's say, is a shtigal ubachacham, as we say, he throws the nail, then he kicks it with his foot. That's I don't think Gemara. The Gemara says you move it. Does he also get together rasha? Mistama rasha just means where you kick it and it doesn't move. That's what I would assume. But the ma'isa, if you taka move it, then it's not harmful anymore. But Taisus might cut and wants to know what makes the burner of the nails a chassid. So Taisus writes, if you go back for a second on the other page, Rashi over there says, why is burning it a chassid? So like Rashi, odif mitzadik, kishakoivrin ikala mechesh the hadri megale. So Taisus says, you know, when you burn something, it's not coming back. When you bury something, it could come back. Someone digs it up, and all of a sudden now it's alive again. I bought the obvious kasha. So what? It's already moved place. Yeah. So why is that a problem? Anyways, okay, it's a good kasha. But whoever writes the safer should put this into the safer.
Wrong, no?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, I can't tell you, Rabbi. It's a good raya, right? So it's also a lomdus to say if you come out of this. Not just the halach, even lomdus, right? So,
Maybe.
So Rashi says, again, Rashi in Nida says, burning solves it because now there's no way it comes back. Tosfos in Moedkatan says a different shot. Tosfos in Moedkatan writes something also very interesting. He says, Delek lemech Hashem yiskalu, because like Rashi, it won't make another appearance because it's burnt. Uba'oruch pirish shesreifa tziparin mazekis la'adam. When a person burns his own nails, it's dangerous to him. V'chein kol dover haba min ha'adam. Anytime you burn something that came from your body, it's dangerous for you. Because the Amir Mesoif Berek Kal Godel, Gabi Dam Hanida, Aydi Dechol Sholoi Mitznoi Lashunra. So Taisus Ulakahu Chosim Shemachim Elisurf and Afagav Shemazaklo. Says Taisus, you know why you're a Chosid? Because you're pushing, hurting yourself. You're such a firm guy that you want to make sure no one steps on this nail. You're even going to do something that's going to cause you harm. Because when you burn your own things that came from you, it's dangerous for you yourself. What? Well, you're not, but for this. Because over here you're doing it l'tayelus. I mean, you're doing it over here to help make sure no one gets a miscarriage. So therefore, it's okay. So according to this aruch, the chasidus over here is because it's hurting you to do it. So let's take a look over here. So now the million-dollar question is: what's the status of our bathrooms today? So if I asked you, what do most people do with their nails? They flush it down the toilet. Very good. So which category do you fit into that? Chasid? Are you a tzaddik? Wait, which one of the two? Yeah.
Right. So we hold that the question is just as good.
Yeah, that's because we have a machlokes tanoim, how to get rid of chametz, right? The Torah doesn't say how to get rid of chametz. So the Tanakhama says get rid of chametz any way you want. If Yehuda has a drasha from Noiser and Zerushava that we learn that. But over here it doesn't say how to, you know, the Gemara says burn it. Now, why did the Gemara suggest burning it? So let's work it out. According to Rashi, burning it to make sure it never appears again. If you flush something on the toilet, will it appear again?
Hopefully not,
but it could. It's possible. I think it's better than burning. Is it any different than burning it? And then burying it? I'm sorry, the Gemara is Rashi said burying it may appear also. So flushing it could also appear technically. Now you don't have the Aruch's pshat. Because according to Aruch, what made you a chassid by burning it? It hurt. It doesn't hurt us to flush the toilet.
So,
it hurt. Taisu says from the Aruch that when you burn something that is part of your body, it's mazik you, it's harmful. But that lachay you wouldn't have when you flush the toilet. So yeshla, then which pshat you go with? So you look over it.
For what? Toilet,
right. The question just is: do we have to be choishish that it's going to resurface, or you know, burying it? So.
The roof is not to resurface.
Yeah, but usually neither is something that you bury, right? So let's see.
It's only to differentiate between tzaddik and
chassid. Yeah, of course. And this is just really just if you want to put a title on your name, you want to know if you're a chassid or a tzaddik. It's not really negeya to practically anything. As long as you're not throwing it on the ground, you're not a Russian. So let's take a look over here. Nissen Karel, it's number 22. He writes, Zrika satsi panayim bebesakise, throwing them in the toilet, he kvura me'ula. He thinks it's a better burial. She'im motzi she'eskal. It's not likely that it will reappear. Mikomok emadayin ein chassid. It can't be called a chassid. Because at the end of the day, it's still possible. I mean, he's going like Rashi. That in order to become a tzaddik, you got to make sure in order to be a chassid, it's got to be gone. It's not gone. It can always reappear. Then he writes, "Ro yilinig l'sarfon." He thinks the minig is taka to burn them. Fine. So if you take a look over in Kovitz Halachas, this is where I recline. Yeah, I guess you could debate that as well. You can say, "Listen, I live in my house." No pregnant women. Oh, you can't argue the pregnant women don't show up. You know, people have daughters and daughters-in-laws who pop in and family members and guests. I guess you can argue. Still, maybe it's l'shchichi. I hear. It's a good question. I mean, you're saying your average guy lives at home, him and his wife, and you know, there's no pregnant women wandering the halls. So maybe it's b'chlal, all these bets are off. But the Gemara, that's interesting. When the Gemara writes these rules, that sounds like it's true for everyone. Even for the people, meaning when the Gemara writes how to dispose of nails, it doesn't say the rules about the frequency of nails. It sounds like you always have to be choshesh. It's interesting. Something to think about also. Yeah. So if you take a look at number 23 from Shmuel Kamenetsky, he writes, right, most of us learn the Gemara that the highest level is to burn it. If you can't make a fire, then you should at least bury it. So Shmuel Kamenetsky thought that's not pshat in the Gemara. He thought the Gemara means that even burying it is 100% lechatchila. Not the pshat that burying it is a b'diavad. Burying is a lechatchila. The zeu she'amar ha'koyvim tzadik v'asarif al-chasar v'asalimar the lechatchila shaper domi gam b'kvura. I'm not really sure how you read the Gemara that way, but he understood the Gemara that it's not the pshat that burying it is a b'diavad. Let's say, for example, you live in a place where they don't let you make fires. No. Burying it is 100% a lechatchila. Umitamza mutal lechatchila lahashlich tzipernayim bebeis akisei. He thinks it's 100% lechatchila to throw them into the toilet. Veim nishvachin mamayim v'teicha abiyov shebezei choshev kikvuro. It will be kvuro. And he thinks you could do kvuro lechatchila. Aval kisreifu lehave. But Avada, he agrees to him this in Karel, so you're not getting the madrega of sreifu. But he says you don't need the madrega of sreifu. He thinks kvuro is 100% lechatchila. I mean, again, you're still not going to be called a chassid. But the question is, it's okay to do something that doesn't make you a chassid. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you doing the tzaddik thing. Most of us read the Gemara that you gotta go hierarchy. You gotta be, shoot for the best. If you can't do the best, do the next. No! There's nothing wrong with being a good tzaddik and bearing them. Don't feel guilty. So I therefore write to Shmuel Kamenetsky, lichat chila, go out and put your nails in the toilet and you're a wonderful person. I can't call you a chassid, but who cares? I don't have to call you a chassid. I'll call you a tzaddik. I'll be happy to be called a tzaddik. This week's parasha, noyach, right? Everyone's a tzaddik, right? I'll be called a tzaddik. So take a look in the Orchas Abeinu from the stipler. Amarti l'mayvi Rebbe, Shani, Zarek, Esat, Tziparan, Lebeis, Akisei. So this Rabbi Horowitz wrote the safe. He says, I told the stipler that I throw my nails into the bat, into the toilet. Amar li halay tzarech l'sarfam. The stipler said, no, you gotta burn them. V'oim ali sheyichtev sarfam v'mlav kaivram. Says in the Gemara, you're supposed to bury them. And if not, it's supposed to burn them. If not, bury them. V'odif lisvei, meaning he assumed, the stipler assumed, not like Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, the stipler assumed kipshutai. That's a hierarchy. Best is to burn. If you can't burn, then you bury it. So therefore, the stipler said, I burn my nails. V'hu sarfum v'lehavi nicha daitel zorich l'mesik. The stipler used to burn his nails. Heavy? But burn his nails. Kipshutai, like the Gemara says. Go out back, make a little fire, burn his nails. Then he writes in the bottom, morna chazinish hoye sarfum. The chazinish also used to burn his nails. He used to gather all his nails that he probably cut from every week before Shabbos, and he'd wrap them and he'd burn them at Erev Pesach with the chametz.
And the lulav.
And the lulav. Oid omali hanal shemar nachazish omaloishim gozet siparin achas pishinim. Oh, we're gonna come back to this.
Where do you keep it the whole year?
We'll see in a second something about. We'll see in a second about that actually. So the chazinish would save up all the nails and then he would throw them. Now let's read this last line of chazinish. We'll come back to this blineder next week. Sure, I guess. I'm in number 24. Oid omali hanal shemar nachazish omaloishim gozet siparin achas pishinim. Let's say you cut one finger with your teeth. You bite off one nail. Now, I'm getting ahead of ourselves because we'll cover this blineder next week. But one of the things we all know is, I mean, you cut your nails, you have to wash your hands. What happens if the guy's sitting and learning, he's cutting, he bites his nails back to the nail biter. So does he have to wash his hands after every finger? The guy's going to spend half the day in the bathroom. So here the Chazanish says, if you cut one finger with your teeth, you don't have to wash your hands.
We'll come. Just
one finger. The guy's biting, you know what I mean? He bites one finger. He's not, you know, we'll come back to this. We'll come back to it. So the Chazanish used to, so now, listen to Nissen Karel. Now remember, Nissen Karel, it's, was a nephew by the Chazanish. He writes, Hashemim tzipornayim l'zman aruch. If a person guards his nails for a long time, k'dei l'sarfim k'shiz damin, or bein tayim yoch aliyaz ben takol, and in between something bad can happen, ni dein a rush, you're not a rush, mikol makam tzadik v'ade inay. So now, I the feta, I the Chazanish. So the posh of the territory is the Chazanish made sure that no takola happened. And the Chazanish guarded it properly. The rest of us, no, we put it, But Zakhtar, the Chazanish, Mistama guard. So this is obviously this is the downside for waiting till Erev Pesach because things happen. So it's a risky move. Maybe, right? I think if you want to go out in the backyard and make your own fire, you don't have to wait till Pesach to make a fire. Fire is illegal, you know, just go out back. So,
it's not really a mitzvah. Maybe the concept of burning.
No, it's not a mitzvah. The point is, this is a key of the, if you learn the Gemara this way, it means I'm trying to be Mekayim, the Mida of what the Gemara says. Again, if you read the Gemara, Kipshutai, it's not the way Shmuel Kamenetsky reads the Gemara, Mechilas Kfoide. The way the Gemara is telling you what to do. Best is this, second best is this, third best is this. So we should all shoot or strive for first best. Now, how many people actually, there are people, a lot of people in the world do this, not so many people in America. They tackle, burn their nails. Every couple of weeks, they go out back and they have a fire. And I'm not saying to put it in your barbecue grill, that's probably not very geschmack, but you build a little fire. So I found over here in my safer about them. Yeah, I'm not sure if it means that's all he needs, you know. Like, the guy's a mushkus his whole life, and that's all he does, and he thinks he's going up to Shemaim, he's going to be front row.
Right.
Mr. Manat, that's probably not going to get you a front row seat in Eil Mabli. Yeah, probably right. So if you take a look at number 26 from the Minhagim of Sulitz, over here in Farakaway. So he writes over here, this is about the Heintiger Rebbe's father wrote this sefer. So he writes, Natil Sipernaim Koidim Chatzois, Veloikis Sidrum, we spoke about this past weeks, Vayusarfa Imchatichas Eitz. Not only would he burn it, he'd burn it with a piece of wood. Not just the nails alone. I don't know why he burnt it with a piece of wood. I guess it burns better. Now take a listen to this Ben Ish Chai. Says the Ben Ishchai, V'yizor b'ksisa ha-tzipanayim, be careful with cutting your nails, shalai yipla b'godav. Don't let your nails fall on your clothing. So what do we have so far? Nails and pregnant women, women's nails and men, women who's going to the mikveh nails, and now we have nails on the clothing. The kol shekin shalai yokot v'yinecha b'godav. Do not allow the nails to stay on your clothing. B'tzorech l'yizor shalai yinecha tzipanayim afil al-menol. Don't let them fall on your shoes. Here it doesn't matter between your feet or your toenails, no nails anywhere near your clothing or anywhere near your shoes. Okay, if you thought you had enough of nails, there's still more, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so I guess
we'll nail it next week.
The last part I want to talk about is really the Shaila, which is very negated today, is cutting your nails on Rosh Chodesh.
Right,
that's a Shaila.
So
let's just make a Haschala a little bit. I don't know if we should, it's already late. Okay, let's just make a Haschala. If you look at the first page, it comes from Yehuda HaChassid. Yehuda HaChassid writes, Le'yigaleach odom ha'roish v'le'yazokim b'Rosh Chodesh. A person should not shave his head or his beard on Rosh Chodesh. V'chein lo yito hatzpenayim b'Rosh Chodesh. So the way we have it in Yehuda HaChassid, he puts it all together. Nail cutting, and hair cutting, and beard trimming, all awesome. If you look at the Magen Avraham writes in number 2, there are some people who don't get haircuts even on Friday, that's Rosh Chodesh. Why? Now, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid didn't say that. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid didn't say what the case of Rosh Chodesh is. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid said, don't get a haircut on Rosh Chodesh. Maybe that's when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But maybe in a chanami, if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, on Friday, and we learned already last few shurim how chashiv it is to take a haircut, maybe it's not true. So we're going to have to continue on this. I want to let people go to Ma'ariv. B'linad, we'll talk more about this next week, what the status of cutting your nails on Rosh Chodesh. And then we'll talk about, this time it won't take up the whole time. We'll start already the next topic, but we'll at least finish up B'linad the next week. You know, nail cutting and halacha part 2, and then we'll move on to the forgotten brachas in halacha, and we'll start with that in Mitzvah Shem next week.